Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Revelation. That shouldn't be hard to find. So if you have trouble, just let me know. Some of your neighbors, somebody can show you where it's at. But Revelation, the last book in the Bible that we know, has given to us. And that's where we're taking our text from. Just before the message this morning, I do want to mention Ms. Michelle Williams is planning on having a luncheon for the widow ladies here in the church. That'll be on September the 12th at 10 o'clock. Barbara Mazzola will be there to speak to the ladies, try to be an encouragement to them. And Michelle is trying to be sure she don't miss anybody. So if you're interested or you haven't been contacted, be sure to speak to her after the service because she wants to be sure to include everyone that would like to be a part of that. Revelation chapter number 1, verses 5 and 6. We're taking our scripture today. I'll just read it. We'll have a word of prayer and then we'll kind of go from there. Have your Bibles open. I hope you'll follow along. You know, the Bible is a message within itself. I believe we could, and basically that's what I'm doing, taking two verses and using them as my outline. I will have some points to give you along the way, just to help me to remember and hopefully help you to remember. But today I want to share with you verse 5 and 6 of Revelation chapter number 1. And Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and forever. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the word of God, the opportunity we have to stand here once again in the pulpit and declare it. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to hearts today. Lord, have it not just to be another message, but Lord, it is a message from the Word of God. And I pray now that your name be exalted, lift up, and glorified, and we'll surely give you the praise, the honor, and glory for it all. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. One of the great joys of being a Christian is no doubt at some time in your life, you've been so overwhelmed and so thankful for what God did that you just had to let out a little praise. You know, sometimes our Baptist churches, we're a little scared to say amen. I believe church services ought to be done decently in order, and I don't think we need to get out of hand with anything, and I don't believe you would, but what I'm saying is there's nothing wrong with saying praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with saying amen. The Bible says that we have joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I tell you, nothing wrong with saying amen, nothing saying praise the Lord. There was a lady that lived a life of a terrible sinful condition. She had lived it for years, but she got saved, got born again. And she started going to church. It was a little bit of a fancy church. And she went. And so she was so beside herself that when the choir began to sing a rousing number, she would say, well, glory to God. And then a little later, the preacher would begin talking about the cross. And she'd say, thank you, Jesus. And she'd lift her hands up and praise the Lord. And she'd shout with a loud voice. That disturbed some of the members. Hey, by the way, if somebody says amen and praise the Lord, don't worry about it. It's all right. They'll be all right. That's just a matter of just expressing themselves in what they feel. But this church, it disturbed the members of the church. They thought it just didn't sound right, didn't look right, and didn't present them in the way they need to be presented. And by the way, the only way we need to be presented is in God's sight, by the way. But it disturbed some of the members, so the pastor called in the deacons, and he said, fellas, we got to do something about it. He said, she's disrupting the service, and we don't do that around here. So y'all are going to have to go talk to her. And they said, well, we don't want to go talk to her. We don't want to tell her. He said, well, I'll tell you, here's what we're going to do. He said, she has an old shabby dress. She wears it every Sunday. He said, I want y'all to go around to her house and tell her. I don't have a name or I'd give it to you, but they go around to her house and tell her that the ladies are going to take her down to the local dress shop, going to get her a new dress, a new purse, and new shoes to match. This lady was excited, no telling how long it had been since she had had a new purse or anything to do with that. And so they began to explain it to her after she got it. They went to her house and said, now, here's what we want you to do. We wanted to help you out. Wanted to give you a nice dress. She said, but you're just going to have to be quiet in the service. Please don't be speaking out. We don't do that in here. She was so proud of the dress. She said, okay, if that's what y'all want. And so they said, all we want you to do is just stop shouting, and you have the dress, the shoes, and the other. Well, that day, the choir began to sing, and she was itching. She had a shout in her soul, but she tampered it down. She didn't say a word. Then the preacher got up and opened the Word of God, and he began to preach about the resurrection of Jesus, and also talking about our resurrection one day when he comes back to take us home to be with him. She couldn't stand it no more. She jumped to her feet. Not only did she shout, but she jumped to her feet. She said, "New dress or no new dress, praise the name of Jesus." I have people sometimes tell me, said, "Preacher, I felt like shouting today." I said, "Well, why didn't you?" Well, I just didn't know what people would think. Let me tell you now, if it's manufactured by you, we don't need it. But if it's manufactured from God, you go ahead and help yourself. There's nothing any more encouraging to a preacher than to hear amens and to have people supporting him along the way. So again, I want to preach to you today on some reasons why we ought to praise the Lord. I believe there's plenty of reasons, and we'll get to that in just a moment. In fact, there are thousands of reasons why we can praise the Lord. In fact, if I preached on all the reasons we should praise the Lord, we'd be here a long time. But today I'm just going to preach to you on three particular places we find in verse 5 and 6 and share with you. And if you have your Bibles, go back just those two verses, so I'll be reading them probably several times. But look at verse number 5. "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us." I want you to know today we ought to praise him because he loved us. I'm so thankful today. I was on my way to hell. And anybody that's unsaved, that's where you're headed. And the only way you're going to get to heaven is through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And the reason that he saved me is because he loved me. The Bible said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Somebody said, "Well, he loved me back when he died for me, but he don't love me anymore." Listen, he does love you. It's a present love. I feel his love this morning. I feel his love every day that I live. And we think of Christ, and our minds immediately go back to the cross. I don't have time to elaborate as much as I have to give you this morning, but I can tell you today we ought to stop and think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary for our sin. He died, shed his blood, took a crown of thorns, a spear in his side, and he died in order that you and I might be saved. And I'm thankful today that I've been born again with the Spirit of God, but it's good to know that God loves me. I tell you, I was a sinner on my way to hell, and one day I heard the preacher preach. I went forward. He took the Bible and began to show me what the Bible had to say to me. And I found this verse in Romans 5:8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we are yet sinners, Christ loves us." I want you to know it's a present love. I'm thankful today Jesus loved us when he died, and he loves us right now. I don't know what you're going through this morning. I don't know what you're experiencing, but I can tell you one thing. God loves you. He loves you more than you'll ever know. I'm grateful today the word "loved" is written in a way which shows his love to begin in the past. It's good in the present, and it's just as real in the present. God will never stop loving us. The Bible says in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, listen, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, the loving kindness have I drawn thee." You know, I believe it helps us sometimes just praise the Lord. I tell you, we walk around sometimes like we've just lost our last best friend. And you may have lost your best friend down here, but if you know Jesus, you haven't lost him. And I promise you, he's there to meet every need. And today, with an everlasting love. And today, if we really love him, shouldn't we not express it? In fact, that's the thing about witnessing and telling people about Jesus. They're worried about what they'll think. They're worried about what they'll say to them. But you know what? If you get them saved and they go to heaven, they'll thank you for the rest of their life for the grace that you showed them. I'm grateful today that Jesus loves us with a present love, with a permanent love. We live in a day where there's a lot of human love is declared in the present, but somewhere in the future it's withdrawn. I think about it. It happens in marriage, happens in family relationships, happens in friendships. Had a friend one time. He and his wife had been married for some time. And he was a preacher. He no longer is. But he was a preacher. And he came to me. Said, "I need you to pray for me. I don't love my wife anymore." Well, I tell you, he knows nothing of Christ's love. Because Christ's love is permanent. And by the way, I believe in marriage, your love is permanent to one another's. And I believe you need to understand that when you get married, that they just, like said, "The death that we part," or you take that person and love them. But love changes. There's reasons for it. I understand. I know certain things happen because of it. But, you know, I feel this way. You may not agree with me, but I feel like real love is like the everlasting love Jesus talks about when he died on the cross for our sin. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse number 35, there's nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. And I think so important today. Many times people say, I love you, but a few months later, even as this fellow did, he said, I don't love her anymore. One day, a little boy got angry, and he did something that his daddy was not happy about, so he was punished by his dad. Dad was angry, and his brother spoke up to his little brother that was getting scolded. He said, if you ever say that again, my daddy's not going to love you anymore. Daddy said, son, don't you ever say that again. He said, I'll love you. I don't love the things you do, and I don't love the things that are there, but I can tell you this, I'll always love you. And that's the way God's love is. It's permanent. There's nothing can separate. Not only that, but it's personal. I'm glad today that God loves you, but I tell you, I'm a lot more glad that he loves me. I tell you today, I'm thankful that he loved me enough to save me. I'm thankful enough that he gave me the opportunity to preach the word of God. You remember when John was on the Isle of Patmos? He was all alone going through some difficult times. He was enduring some suffering. But you know, God always knows where we're at. It makes no difference whether it's a circumstance or whether we're at in the physical place of our life. God always knows where we're at. And he knows what we're going through. And you know what we experience this each day. You remember the woman that pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment in order that she might be made whole. And out of all the people there, he knew who it was that had touched him. And he did restore and give her what she needed, a personal love. God so loved the world, but that includes me. There's a fellow preacher by the name of Mays Jackson. And years ago, he was on a trip to Israel. He said they were taking the tour, and as they were taking the tour, he said two shepherds came in from two different directions with a whole load of sheep. He said they brought them together, and there was a spring. There was some still water there. He said the sheep mingled and got in there, and the shepherds, they visited for a while, but he said they were still around in the area. And he said all of a sudden, one of the shepherds, he said he began to speak something that I couldn't understand. But all of a sudden, those sheep left, divided, the ones that was his, left and followed him while the others remained at the place. I'm sure what he was saying was he was calling them by their name. Because I believe the Bible says God knows our name, don't he? And I believe that shepherd and Mays Jackson said, he said, after they left, he said, I tried it. He said, I called out. I tried to talk like he talked. But he said, they didn't follow me. He said, all I got was an old goat. But they're not going to listen to you, but they'll listen to the shepherd. You know why? Because the shepherd cares about his sheep. Friend, God cares about you this morning. He don't know what you're going through, what you're experiencing, but he cares. And I think of Ms. Martha, this week's just been a real eye-opener to me. But there's one thing I could tell her for sure. Jesus loves you. And he knows all about it. And he's going to get you through it. You just need to trust him. And I know it's easier, but you continue to pray for her. But it reminded me how much Jesus loved me. I'm reminded today how I could be much worse off than I am. I'm grateful today that I'm able to be here preaching this morning. I'm just so grateful I'm able to walk around a little bit and do something. But Jesus loves us, and we ought to praise his name. We ought to thank him for what he's done for us. And there's nothing wrong with saying praise the Lord or glory to God or hallelujah. Jesus loves us, but look at verse 5 again. Jesus looses us. Now, I had to get an L to go right along with this, but it makes sense. The Bible says in verse number 5, the latter part, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Now, it's interesting. Another reason we ought to praise the Lord is John writes, unto him that loved us and washed himself for our sins in his own blood. Now, the word wash, we know what that, we think of washing. You get water or whatever, but we're not talking about being washed in water. We're talking about washed in the blood. However, the word wash literally has one of the meanings of to loose, to untie, to set forth, to let go. And that's exactly what it means. And he says, to him who ever loves us and has once for all loosed us and freed us from our sins by his own blood. Not only has he washed us, but he's loosed us. John reminds us that the redeemed people are found, people that are found being loosed by their chains of sin. We stop about that. It's important to remember that sin is just, it's not just a stain, but sin is a chain. And it binds you. Sin binds the sinner with cords. You'll never, I'm not saying you won't never be able to escape. If you get the Lord in your heart, you'll be able to. But I tell you, as long as you ignore him and do not pay attention to him, I'm going to tell you, you're bound in the chains of sin for the remainder of your life until you turn your life over to him and put your faith and trust in him. Sin binds the sinner in the cords that are there. Jesus loosed us from the chains of sin. You know, sin is something that is we feel guilty of. I would say all of us are not proud or proud at all of maybe some of the things we've done. And I'd be one of them, but we're not going to talk about that this morning. But I'll be honest with you. Even though my sins have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, even though he's forgiven me, the old devil put in my mind things I used to do that I'm ashamed of. I regret. I wish I could go back and relive it. I wish my mom and dad, I'm grateful they got to live me to see me get my life right. But I wish they could have lived a little longer just to see that I'm still doing what I'm doing. Sin is a terrible guilt. But you know, today God forgives us of our sin. He removes us that guilt for us. There's people who have sinned in huge waves and they become a Christian. I know a man that literally got saved. He was a soul winner. He went every time. This was down in Bradenton, Florida. We'd go out visiting, and he was excited, and he was upset. But the main thing he could not get over when we were ever out visiting, he didn't get saved till he was 55. And all he could talk about was how he destroyed his life and wasted his life not living for God. Now, that's good if it bothers you when you're still not living for God. But if you're saved and the blood is covering you, then you don't need to be worried about the guilt of your past. He's more concerned about your present, what you do this morning. Isn't that good this morning? We could come in this morning, and no matter where we've been, what we've done, there's a God in heaven that's willing to forgive us of our sin, and to that we ought to love him with an everlasting love. There's only two reasons why you should ever feel guilt, or you will feel guilt in your life. It'll be because Satan will remind you because he wants you to stay in defeat. He'll get on your shoulder and he'll say, remember what you used to be. You ain't what you need to be. And you know, by grace of God, none of us are not what we need to be. But we all ought to understand that we are what we are by the grace of God and what he's done. And then the second way we find is you may remember the sin because God is reminding you of where he brought you from. Sometimes when I think of some things in the past, and sometimes they're indelibly stamped in our mind. And I begin to think about it, not that I'm dwelling on, not that I'm thinking about going back, not any of that things, but I feel guilt in my life. But then I'm reminded that Jesus brought me out of that mess. The Bible said he picked me up and he set my feet on a rock and he established my goings. And I've been trying to go that direction ever since. I tell you today, Jesus loosed us from the chains of sin slavery. The Bible said in John 8, verse 34 through 36, Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Sin makes you a slave. Sin controls you. Sin masters your whole life, and you're not able to do what you need to do. Then Jesus loosed us from the chains of sin's sentence. The Bible said that it tells us that sin is a terrible consequence. Sin has consequences, by the way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. You can run with the devil and you can have a part in his life and never give God the place that he deserves in your life. But I'm telling you, there's going to be consequences to your sin. But when the Lord saved us, the Lord loosed us from sin's sentence. Sin must be punished. The Bible said in Isaiah 53, verse 6, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Can you imagine going to a courtroom today, and they ushered you in with the chains, shackles around your hand and the shackles around your feet, and you came before the judge, and he found you guilty, and he said, you're guilty, and your punishment is to die for your crime. But yet he says, sir, I've got some good news for you. He said, I have found another. I found another that'll take your place. And you don't have to die. He said, bailiff, take the chains off. They dropped the chains off. What do you think he did? Do you think he just turned around and walked off? I got a feeling he was shouting at that judge and praising him and saying, man, thank you, thank you, thank you. Same difference. Only problem is we're not reciprocating what he's done for us. Friend, I tell you today, I'm ashamed of myself sometimes, and we all ought to be, because we fail the Lord so much in so many ways when he loves us. I tell you today, we ought to be jumping for joy. That's the exact picture of a Christian. Somebody that got saved, he loosed you from those chains. Those chains dropped off, and you're free now. In fact, you're so free, you have a free will, and you have choices. You can do what you want to do or what you desire to do. But you better do what God wants you to do. Put your faith and trust in him. These are powerful motives for people to praise the Lord, wouldn't you say? The shame of sin no longer has power over me. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We're no longer bound in the chains of slavery. The sentence of God's death and God's judgment and hell no longer hang over us. But Jesus went to that cross, and he got on the cross. He allowed them to put him on that cross. And they crucified him. They nailed his hands. They pierced his side. They crowned him with a crown of thorns, and blood ran down his cheek. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. You know why? Because he loves us. Can we just not every now and then just say, praise the Lord? I don't mind if you say it a little louder, but Jesus loves us and Jesus loses us. But verse 6 says, Jesus lifts us. He lifts us. Look at verse 6. And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. He hath made us. Did you get that? He has made us kings and priests unto God. In the Old Testament, they used to go find the priest. And the priest had to offer the sacrifice of a lamb, a perfect lamb, in order that their sins might be forgiven, because that was foreshadowing Jesus coming. But since Jesus came, the Bible said the veil of the temple was rent in twain. And no longer do I have to go and get a priest to do what I want him to do. But I'm able to go to the priest. I go to the high priest. But I am my own priest, because the Bible, isn't that what it says? And he hath made us kings and priests unto God. This means we have a royal nature and a priestly nature as well. Kingship and priesthood reside in every believer. Now listen, don't misunderstand me. I love it when people ask me to pray for them. People go out the door sometimes to pray for the end. And I'm going to tell you, sometimes I get so many people say it and not write it, I can't remember it. I'm just at that stage in life, I guess. But I have trouble remembering. So I'd encourage you, if you want me to pray, to write it down and give it to me. But I'm saying all that to say this. You got just as much access to God as I do. Now, I want to pray for you. Don't go out here and say the preacher said I do my own praying. No, that's not what I'm saying. We're to pray for one another. We need to encourage one another. We're to love one another. But I want to tell you what, as long as your heart's right with God, he said as a child of God, you don't have to wait for the priest. You can go to the Holy of Holies and go in, and you can give yourself a sacrifice to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm grateful today that he's lifted us up. We have new power. Selfish motives and ambitions are gone. We have the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to guide us. And then you have a new power over society. Not only over self, but over society. You don't need to depend on the world to give you a sense of worth. That's what a lot of people do. They're trying to measure their life. They want to know if they... Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I know there's a lot of peer pressure in school with kids. And I tell you, they need to be prayed for more than ever. But I know there's a lot of times there's bullying in school and people bullying and saying things, talking about other people. And I tell you today, I've read some sad statistics from all that, and I tell you, they're not good. But I tell you, as a child of God, if you're here this morning, I don't care what's going on in your life, Jesus loves you. And he says, you're worth something to me. In fact, you was worth so much to me that I literally died on the cross where you could have eternal life and one day go to heaven. It's not your money. It's not your position. It's not the world's applause that ought to thrill us. The songwriter said, all that thrills my soul is Jesus. And I tell you, it thrills my soul to think about Jesus and what he's done and what he's doing. As children of God, we're not to follow the dictates of society. We're to follow the dictates of the Word of God. The Bible said all scriptures given by inspiration of God. So we do have power over society. I know in the Bible it tells, they say the Lord Jesus even cried when he was being tempted. He said, get behind me, Satan. And I'm telling you, we have power to stay above Satan and to destroy him, not destroy him, but to keep him off our back if we're doing what is right according to the will of God. We have new power over the armor of salvation, or the power of salvation. The Bible said, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. I'm going to tell you this morning, a Christian falling into sin is only that far away. You could fall into sin while you're listening to me. You could say something, do something, think something. But you better tell him to get away as quick as he can, because I'm telling you, he will destroy your life. Only Jesus. Friend, I'm going to tell you now, I appreciate the thing y'all did for me a couple of weeks ago, 50th anniversary of ministry. Lord, when I started out, I didn't even know what I was going to do in the ministry, much less pastor, be a part or be in the ministry for 50 years. But I sure am grateful today that I found out that God was the one that would strengthen me and guide me and direct me and give me what I needed. The Bible said, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So it tells me if you really resist him, get him off your shoulder, you'll be able to withstand it. And then Jesus lifted us to a new position. We talked about it. We're priests. He says, boldly come boldly to the throne of grace that you might obtain mercy. Listen to the scripture. 1 Peter 2, verse 5, is called a holy priesthood. In 1 Peter 2, 9, it's called a royal priesthood. In Revelation 5, 10, he said, has made us unto our God kings and priests. What does it mean when God says we are his priests? We have access to God. And I got a little ahead of myself a while ago. But we have access to God. And that's what I was trying to say. We all have the opportunity to praise the Lord. A priest is a priest we can acclaim to God. A priest, what did he do? He brought sacrifices. It was no use of him going behind the Holy of Holies unless he had a sacrifice. That sacrifice was a lamb. That lamb had to be without spot or without blemish. A very picture being foretold of the coming of Jesus Christ. He was a lamb. He was the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And I tell you, today we must come understanding. We give acclaim to him. One of my favorite verses, and I believe Paul wrote Romans, and we see here as it's there. But he said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Now picture this. I know I'm stopping. Picture that you're chained up when this verse starts. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. If you're bound by the chains of sin this morning, you're not going to be able to do the reasonable service. In fact, you're not going to be able to do much of anything for God until you get that sin taken care of. If you're lost, I tell you today, if you've never trusted Christ, you know there's never been a time. Somebody said, well, how do you know when you're saved? I believe this. When you get saved, I believe you know it. I believe you'll know what your heart desires, and I believe those who confess their sin, as Jesus said, will come into their heart and save them. But I'd venture to say, I'm speaking to a group of people today that they saved, But they're still bound by the chains. The chains they put on themselves forced them. But he said, be not conformed to this world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. The praise is our lifting up the Lord in thanksgiving. The young man on the screen, I appreciate Cal doing my PowerPoints, but I know that's what he did. He knew what my message was. But sometimes we just need to praise the Lord. Hebrews 13:15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We lift Christ up through our walk. We lift Christ up through our worship. And every priest must do the same thing. We're simply just ambassadors for Christ. And then we see, as priests, get this one. We're advertisements for Christ. I had a lady call me this week about our advertisement. You know, Yellow Pages are a thing of the past, just about. We've been advertising Yellow Pages for years. And this company has bought them, and they're still going to publish them, what amount they do. But they've got a digital platform, and they called and talked to me about it. And basically, I was going to be able to get all that for what we had been paying. And we're able to go on there, and I hadn't got with Keith and Kim yet, but I'm going to show them how to do it. But we can go in there and literally build up our own advertisement. Anything we want to say about the church, we can put on there. And so I told her, I said, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that. Why did I do that? Because I want people to know about Jesus Christ. I want to know about Victory Baptist Church. Why are we supposed to be advertisers for him? So people will know that we love the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:2-3. Listen, ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as you are manifestly declared in the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart. Let others see Christ in you. And the next thing, you're at the ball game. Somebody, your team wins. They say, well, congratulations, your team won. Say, praise the Lord. I'm not sure he's interested in your team or my team, but it'd be a good way to just say praise the Lord anyway. Because we can praise the Lord for any and everything he does in our life. It should be clear in our minds. We've got ample reason to praise him. And I tell you, I'm not talking about just praising him in church. Don't be ashamed to pray at the table at Whataburger. I don't. Don't be ashamed for people to see you with your Bible. I remember when I was a kid and went to school, and I'm not proud of it, but I was a new Christian, I guess, didn't know, and I was challenged to take my Bible to school, and I put my Bible on the bottom stack of my books because I was afraid somebody would make fun of me. But one day, God got a hold of my heart and said, that's dumb. Well, I tell you how he got a hold of me. I heard a preacher preach, and he said, whatever you do, he said, don't never stack no other books on top of this book. He said, even if you're at home, he said, don't put another book on it. I'm telling you. And I thought about it. I said, you know, he's right. This book is the book of books. If you need the Lord and he's calling you to come today, heed his voice as he calls you to salvation. Come today. Put your trust in him. Somebody said, well, what do I have to do? Well, Brother Keith will be here, I'll be here, others are here. We can take the Bible, show you exactly what to do in just a few minutes if your heart is receptive to the truth of the Word of God. Christian, let's wake up and praise the Lord. Let's give him honor that is due him, okay? And we can do it by our attendance, we can do it by reading the Bible, we can do it by praying, but it's not a thing in the world wrong. In fact, the hardest I've ever preached was when I had the Amen crowd going. I mean, I'm talking about the crowd, not Brother David, not just Brother David. But when I get it, you know, somebody says, well, that's just emotional. Yeah, it is emotional. The message this morning was emotional to me because Jesus has loosed us. He's lifted us. But thank God most of all, he's loved us. Our Father, we thank you, Lord, today for the Word of God. Lord, when I realize who I am and what I am and where I was and where I am now, I'm reminded it's only by the grace of God Lord, thank you that over 64 years ago, you saved my soul.